let's get started. It's virtually right on the hour. So hello and welcome everyone. I'm Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist and your host for our Measures and More Mastermind program. You're on our August 2008 case study call, and this is all about how Bonnie Kite is helping her division to take the time to measure. Getting your organization really interested in performance measurement can be hard enough. Actually getting them to commit time to do it, that's another thing entirely, especially when it's over and above all the real work that they're doing. It can be such a feat just to get people willing to give some time to developing measures and to reviewing measures and the like. I know a lot of you are struggling with that very problem. You might feel very committed to doing performance measurement well, and you may even know what steps you want to follow and how you want to go about doing it, but you also know that you just have to have the collaboration and the involvement of your colleagues and managers and others in your organization if you're going to have any chance at getting it done really, really well and getting their buy-in along the way. That's why I was so excited when Bonnie recently told me that she has been making some tremendous headway in her organization, particularly in getting people to follow her lead and actually give their time to doing performance measurement properly. You're going to hear on this call how they actually gave more time than they first thought they were going to, and they did this willingly as well. So let me introduce Bonnie to all of you. Bonnie Kite is the Senior Improvement Officer. She's with the Bulk Water Division of the Sydney Catchment Authority. And essentially, Bonnie's role is analysing the divisional processes and performance and identifying improvements and also looking at how those improvements need to be achieved. She holds the divisional portfolios also for innovation, quality management and business systems, leadership and development, so she's really a very busy woman. Normally, Bonnie will describe her team, which is the business improvement team, as the problem solvers. That makes total sense to me. Bonnie has a graduate certificate in public sector management, and she's been working in the public sector for 7 years. She's also a member of the IPAA, the Institute of Public Administration Australia, Young Professionals. Bonnie didn't always work in the public sector, though. She has been, prior to that, working in the pathology field in clinical trials as a biochemistry coordinator, and that's where she discovered her passion for business process management. Bonnie, welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Stacey.
I've got to ask this question, Bonnie. How can you discover a passion for business process management when you're a biochemistry coordinator?
I suppose being in that scientific arena, we were very strongly focused on getting our processes right and maintaining their currency and our certification. So that was one of my primary roles there, to maintain the business systems there. So I kind of went on and followed that kind of lead and did small little short courses on quality management and then expanded out into proper roles that encompassed quality management within other organisations and, yeah, more recently within the public sector.
It's kind of interesting, Bonnie. I didn't know this about you when I first met you. It's not too dissimilar a path from the one that I took into this area of performance management, because I started off as a scientist, I guess, a research statistician, and got really interested in quality improvement and business improvement, process improvement and the like. So it's funny that, you know, that's just one of the pathways that people can come to be interested in measuring and improving performance.
Yeah, it is. I think it's that scientific background to find out why. Why does that do that and why does that not work and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I agree with you, Stacey.
Curiosity about how things work and how they can work better.
Bonnie, exactly.
Why don't we begin?
Yep.
With a bit of background. So what was happening, maybe tell us a bit about the Sydney Catchment Authority. I'm not sure that everybody would necessarily know about your organisation, but also what's been happening in your division that actually led you to decide, yes, we need to give some deliberate attention to performance measurement now.
Yeah, sure. The SEA was established in 1999, so kind of a new agency, and we essentially are charged with protecting their drinking water catchments and supply raw bulk water to our customers. So that includes Sydney Water, 2 local councils and 60 retail customers. So we don't, supply New South Wales directly with their water, but ultimately there's about 60% of the population of New South Wales consume the water supplied by us. So we have a diverse kind of background with, you know, people living in Sydney, Illawarra, Blue Mountains, Southern Highlands, you know, that we manage operations in all of those areas. And I suppose we've got about 300 staff, and where I sit is in the bulk water division, which is the operating arm, and there's about 70 staff in our division. So that's kind of the background of the SCA, but in regards to this particular project, why we were looking at our performance measurement was we really wanted to improve the way that we established our measures and to review our existing KPIs that we had on our balanced scorecard with a view to establish measures that would be able to give us the ability to make informed decisions about how our operations were working.
Excellent. So you guys, it sounds like you already have that, you already had that focus about, you know, it really is important to monitor what's going
on. Yeah, we have, since back in 99, we have a balanced scorecard was established back then, and we had a long history of data, and I suppose we had a review of our corporate plan, and it came time to say, okay, let's realign or let's take a fresh look at those measures, and are they still correct? So I suppose it was just a realignment that was the focus of this particular project, with a strong emphasis on what methodology we're going to use rather than just brainstorming.
Okay, so yeah, that's where you shifted the deliberate attention. Like, you always knew that it was important, but this is about, well, I guess it's almost like a process improvement initiative in its own right about improving the process of performance measurement.
Yes. The, I suppose, portfolio holder for business planning and a balanced scorecard as such doesn't actually sit within our team. It sits with another group, but we took this on as an improvement project. So, you know, for those of you who are looking at this and it's within your own portfolio, our kind of view was taking a step back and seeing how it fits in with the rest of the business, and really brought on the people that originally had responsibility for the balanced scorecard, along with the project as well.
That sounds great. So that would have maintained their ownership of it as well.
Yes.
Without stepping on toes, I guess.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So, Bonnie, how about telling us a little more about what steps you actually have been taking? What you did do to review and consolidate? Performance measures.
Yeah, sure. After the, I think I went to the November blueprint workshop with you, Stacey, and kind of had a bit of a couple months of, oh my God, what am I going to do? I've got a huge task in front of me here. So I originally set up a formal project to manage all of this. So with our general manager as the client, and stakeholders were obviously the manager that would that originally had the portfolio for this balanced scorecard. And I thought probably around about I could do it within 2 months, which was grossly underestimated. So I started doing little small teams, picking the key players with each one of those measures, and doing one-hour workshops with them or one-hour meetings. I tried to steer clear of workshops that's kind of within our division workshops that are a bit of a no-no and people don't like going to them, and then at the end there's no decisions made or anything like that. So that was one of those cultural kind of things. So I just made it short, sharp and simple one-hour meetings with, say, no more than 3 people. And then the other people that I thought I would need to consult on a particular measure, whether it was regarding compliance or projects or anything like that, I kind of spoke to them beforehand and afterwards as well to see, you know, what they were thinking.
That sounds great. I actually know a couple of other people that have taken that kind of approach to, you know, let's not turn this into something that looks bigger than Ben-Hur by having these formal workshops. And, you know, if you're at that stage where people are already really, really busy, just taking that nice little approach of pulling together the right people for short meetings is ideal.
Yes, yep.
So in taking that approach, I mean, one of the things you mentioned was just scheduling one-hour meetings with people to start with. And you also mentioned that you'd originally hoped to have this done in a couple of months, but I know that didn't quite work that way.
No.
Tell us more about how much time it did take and how much time people did give and, you know, realistically, you know, what were the factors you think that affected that time?
Okay. Firstly, we're looking at the review of 25 measures, existing measures. And on top of that, I was also looking at our own team measures, which some of them overlapped. So there's probably around about 10 of those. So in total, there was 35 measures that I was either looking at to say, do we need to keep them or do we want to reconsider them or are they mandatory? So in total, there was, say, 35 of those. I originally thought 2 months, but now we're into the fourth month of this whole review process. So I would, if I had my time again, I would allocate a good 6 to 8 months for it to have everything rolled out properly, including from the get-go of what are we trying to measure again, what was our original intended outcome, having those key discussions and clarity of what our intended outcome means, right through to the reporting requirements and getting the data activated as well. So that's kind of the time frame that I'm hitting now. So,
and the scope of what you described that you're covering, like from right at the very beginning, what are the outcomes that really matter, through to the very end, actually reporting the measures and bringing them to life, so to speak, that's a much broader scope than any kind of brainstorming session could possibly.
Correct. Yeah, which I suppose within that, 6 to 8 month period was also including in that my own learning and understanding of, the methodology that, that we're using today, Stacey. Yeah. So that's, if I kind of already had that training embedded, it would be much quicker. So I anticipate next time we do this, or next time our corporate plan is reviewed, it would be much shorter.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, you were introducing an improvement to the measurement process.
Yes, yeah.
And people are doing things that haven't, in ways they haven't done them before, I guess.
Correct, yeah.
So I guess, how would you summarise the main factors that kind of influenced the time that it did take? One you've said already was the learning.
Yeah.
There's a learning curve and some practice associated with that. What are some of the other factors that you think made the time take longer than your 2 months?
The key discussions around the like the 1 to 2 hour sessions, I thought I'd only need maybe 2 of those to review, say, one measure, for example, right from the get-go right through to how is this going to look and how we're going to activate the data, so to speak. But they took a lot longer. Those meetings were, one particular one went from, I scheduled 1 hour, it actually went to 4 hours. And that was because the participants wanted to keep going and they wanted to investigate further around, well, we've never had this conversation before, what do you think and what have we done in the past and that kind of thing. So I underestimated that kind of time frame. And then I suppose the other thing too was any new measures that kind of putting together, just doing some background investigation on any existing data or how we're going to extract that data out of any other systems or Excel spreadsheets or whatever we've got going. So, yeah, compiling all of that together.
It's hard to anticipate how much time that's going to take in advance, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
Particularly, and I find this, just over a week ago I was facilitating a results mapping workshop with a client, and that workshop is about, like what you've said, talking about what are the outcomes that really matter, what are the things that we should be developing measures for.
Yep.
And those conversations always blow me away. I find them quite hard to facilitate, actually, because people just want to go for it. They say things like, wow, we've never talked about this before, and they're debating what results matter and what that language means and which bits are worth measuring and what do we leave out. And they really do end up having this energy to want to give more time to it, I guess.
Yeah, so I kind of thought that I would need to, put on the tea and coffee cakes and whatnot to get them in. But in the end, I didn't have to do any of that. They were more than willing and said, okay, well, let's keep going. Even with right up to, our senior group managers, where obviously they're, very tight schedules, they were, dedicating more time to it.
That's probably a really important takeaway point already. I mean, so early in our call today, is as a tip for people, is if you really want to get people to give time to measurement and you're struggling at the moment to get them to come along to workshops, what Bonnie's done is amazing. It's just set up just small meetings of an hour or so, which is quite digestible to a lot of people. Yeah, no worries, I'll come and spend some time for an hour with you guys and talk about what the most meaningful measures are. But then let them decide how much more time they want to give to it. Invariably, we find this happens, is that people do want to give more time than they believe they want to up front, or they'll often give more time than they say they'll have available up front.
Yeah, correct, yeah. And I suppose them knowing that our client was the general manager, and ultimately these measures were going to go on our balance scorecard, which is, very highly scrutinised, that gave it the importance to it as well.
That backing is,
yes,
quite critical. Yes, absolutely. So, how did you find those conversations around getting the results really clear? Were there any tricks that you'd learned about how to get people to engage in those conversations and have the kind of dialogue that was really necessary, I guess, to help them understand the results and get ownership of the results and the measures that came out of it?
For some of them, I picked the people that would probably respond to doing some pre-reading, some of the articles you have written, Stacey, on what's worth really measuring, those kinds of things, or how did you establish your KPIs, did you use brainstorming, those kind of little hooks. I kind of sent them out beforehand and said, if you've got 5 minutes before the meeting, would you mind casting your eye over this article, just to get them in that mode. I also sent out to some people a little pro forma saying, what do you think you get paid for, and which one of our strategic outcomes do you think you contribute towards, and if you could rewrite that strategic outcome, what would you want it to say and how would you want it to look? So I had those kind of leading questions so they could do that thinking prior to the meetings. So when I met with them, they were already, I suppose, in that mode of, oh, okay, we're serious, we're really looking at our measures, and I can envisage in, say, 12 months' time that I'm going to be in a meeting room somewhere saying, yes, we achieved this and this is how we did it and that kind of thing. So I suppose that's how I kind of prompted the ownership issues.
That's good. That pro forma, can you repeat the questions that you had on there? The first one was,
What do you think you get paid for? That was pretty gutsy to write down, I must say.
Yes.
And I gave it to my boss first. I suppose one thing I haven't mentioned through this whole thing, I used our team as a test case for all of this first. So anything that I ran through the division, I ran through our team first, and they would say, oh, no, I don't like that, or I don't understand that. So without their kind of support and feedback, I don't think I would have been able to roll this out amongst the divisions as well as I have been. So I use them as...
A pilot.
Sorry?
Almost like a pilot test.
Yeah, they were a little pilot group. So so I got them to answer those questions as well, and they were very you know, good about, oh yeah, I get paid to do this, and this is the one that I contribute towards, and then they actually answered those individually and then brought them to the room. So it was interesting to see, you know, people within the one team, what they thought they got paid for. So the people that were on a different wavelength were, it was very obvious on to who those people were.
That's interesting. I just had a thought. When people brought the answer to that particular question, what do you think you get paid for, and they brought that into the discussion,
yeah.
What did you find about the patterns in what they said? How many of them wrote down activities on that list about what they get paid for, as opposed to writing down results or impacts or differences that they make?
I suppose most of them were outcomes, because I had a little example there at the top of it. So they were outcomes, and the people, I didn't send that to everyone because I knew that wouldn't go down with some people. But the things that they did write on there, yeah, were ultimately outcomes, high, big ticket kind of items like run this group or deliver water or manage our dams, that kind of thing. So, and then the next question down was which one of the strategic outcomes do you contribute towards? And most people listed about three. And then the next question below that was, if you could rewrite this, what would you want it to say? I suppose with us, we have a bit of a, in our corporate plan, it's very airy-fairy. I know a lot of plans are like that, but I really wanted to get clarity around what those intended outcomes meant to people, which then rolled into the results mapping.
So when you say airy-fairy, Bonnie, is that what I would term like weasel words?
Yes, correct, yeah. Yeah.
So efficient, effective, and productive, and enhanced.
Yep.
And
well, what it means to me might mean something totally different to someone else. So.
Exactly, yeah. It's very hard to figure out what the right measures are when we don't have a shared understanding of what the words mean. So that was pretty clever to get them to reword it in their language.
Yeah, well, I suppose, and we used that, we actually reworded it on our final balance scorecard. For some of them, we've actually used their wording so that they can see where they fit in.
So you did go back and change the actual language in the balance scorecard
The
very, very stuff to more specific
language. Correct.
Oh,
like one example is we make our customers, stakeholders and regulators happy. And previously it was something like, we have strategic alliance, that kind of thing. So people now look at that and say, oh, we make our customer service stakeholders and regulators happy. Oh, I know what that means.
Much better. It's a very powerful thing to do. And a question I often get asked from people is like, you know, once you've you have to untangle all those weasel words or that airy-fairy language to end up with meaningful measures, and they're never quite sure should they go back and change those words or not. And I guess it doesn't really matter whether you do or not, but it is nice to know, Bonnie, that, you know, in organisations like yours, people do go back and change what's in those documents.
Yeah, well, I thought there was no point in doing it otherwise. And I suppose that then if that's another ownership thing as well, that they can say, oh, okay, I can see where I fit in here.
Yeah, line of sight.
Correct.
I like that. You didn't have a great deal of problem getting engagement from managers and leaders, did you? They already had the balanced scorecard and already understood the value of it. Did you have to do any work to kind of stir more interest amongst organisational leaders to, you know, to get from outcomes to better measures?
Yeah, in some areas I did. And I suppose I did that by selling it to some of our group leaders as saying, this will give you evidence to show where you fit in our corporate plan, you know, remembering that this is at a divisional kind of level, and also saying you can use this as your own report card to our general manager, and to really investigate further on areas that they've always wanted to know more about. So they were the kind of hooks that I used there. And, of course, running it as a project and with our general manager backing, I suppose that's one of our leadership issues. So,
that is the that is an important thing, is that backing, absolutely. Mm. Okay, cool. So that's a pretty good overview of the steps that you took, and you shared some really great tips along the way of how you, you know, those hooks that you talked about to get people thinking in the right way about results and measures. When you were going through those steps, Bonnie, what kind of challenges or failures, I guess, did you have to meet and deal with along the way?
I suppose I've already touched on one, Stacey, which was the time issue. I really underestimated the time that I thought that this was going to be achieved by. So, and I managed to rejig it. I was hoping to roll our new balance scorecard out for this financial year, but obviously haven't met that time frame. But it will be first reported in December this year. So we're still able to, I suppose, collect the data for this financial year, and it will just be first reported in December. So I've kind of made up time that way. It's not ideal, but, you know, that's kind of our plan B. And the other challenge that I had, which was the results mapping, not only was it a new technique for myself, but then trying to explain that to other people as well. So I found I almost had to do a results map first before I went out to some of the teams that I had to facilitate that for. So, but I suppose once I did four or five of those, and using my team as a bit of a pilot group first, that really helped hone in on that skill. So they're the two major kind of challenges that I had there.
On the results mapping one, what you mentioned that you did, like, you had to, like, do one yourself first. What was the benefit of that? Was that more about making you confident, or was that about giving others a starting point?
No, I never really showed them that one. I suppose it was my own confidence and getting clear in my head. Okay, I'll take one for example. We were looking at projects delivery. We have, you know, two teams that run major projects within our division, and those teams have never really spoken too much before on what it means to make a project successful, what are the outcomes they kind of aiming towards to ensure that each project that they run is delivered on time and within budget. So I kind of did a mini results map beforehand, just trying to think of some things that they might come up with, and also maybe some prompters if we got stuck. So, but Steve Horton, he also, my manager, he also went to that blueprint workshop as well. So we both were kind of working through that together. So having another sounding board saying, oh, are we on the right path here, was helped me through that too.
Okay, cool. That's good. On the time thing about it taking longer than you had planned, how did people feel about that, do you think?
What, having to stretch the meetings out, or
not hitting the target of having it done by the financial year? I mean, did people feel disappointed by that, or did they?
I suppose it was my own disappointment more than anything. And then I just had to come up with other ways of, you know, how to get it back on track. And I kind of went back to our general manager and said, look, we're not going to meet this original target that we had thought. These are some options. What do you think? And, he kind of said, well, we're getting the data anyway, so it's not, we can just backtrack that data. So he was fine about it. He was more focused on getting the right measures in place rather than hitting the time frame.
I think he's got his priorities right.
Yeah, yeah.
Too easy to rush to have a report done by a particular time when what's in the report really doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Yeah. Okay, so how about successes then, Bonnie? Like, what do you think worked particularly well for you in this process? What kind of impact has it had in the end?
I suppose having a methodology that we can follow rather than just trying to come up with something ourselves or getting the best of a bunch of ideas, that has really worked well. And to say that it's a method that we've been, trained in and obviously have got your ongoing support, Stacey, in rolling it out as well. That's really been beneficial for us as well. And getting some quick wins on the board as well with our own team measures. We've been able to, put a bit of a storyboard together and went round to the teams as well and said, look, this is how we, designed this measure and went through all the steps and so that they could see what the final outcome was. I just kind of put together just from the very first step that we did, which was the little pro forma that I sent out, which was what do you think you get paid for kind of thing. I just used one complete example that we did to measure, to design a measure for, I think it was about staff training. Because at the moment, previously, I should say, we have a measure about the number of days staff have been trained in. And Jennifer Nolan, another lady in our team, gathers the data religiously every month for this particular measure, and we say how many days have people been trained in this month and how many days have they spent off-site doing training and so forth, and we report that every single month and we don't do anything with it. So this was one, this was one of the ones that we really wanted to fix up. So I thought that was a measure that everyone, had seen for the last 5 years and they knew what that meant. So I picked that one and I said, okay, this is how we redesigned it. And I just got photocopies of the little performer that I used and the results map and then the measure design and definition templates that we had all filled out and just put it onto a board and I said these were the steps and this was our final measure that we came up with, which in the end was about the percentage of training that they had completed in their learning agreement. We have a performance management system here where every year you sit down with your manager and you say, this is the critical learning that I've got to undertake this month to meet my obligations and this is my essential learning that I would like for personal development kind of thing. So we're going to start measuring how much of that they've actually completed. So we thought that was a much better measure to look at that we have the right skills in the workforce rather than people are trained. Yeah. So I just put that like on a storyboard, just a board and walked around with it and said, this is how we kind of got to this result and now we're going to do the same for you guys. This is the one that we're going to look at, whatever, particular measure I was looking at that day. So that's kind of how that worked.
Anybody using a storyboard, I mean, maybe people are doing it, but I haven't heard that before. I think that's such a cool idea. It's so tactile. It's there in front of you. You can touch it.
Yeah, well, I use it instead of the measure gallery. Being across four different sites, I thought I would have to move that measure gallery four times, and I didn't really, want to, go to all that, effort in setting it up and getting feedback formally. I'm not sure if your listeners know what a measure gallery is or if you've spoken about that on previous calls, Stacey. But
some probably will, but there'll be people that don't, so maybe we should give a brief.
You can explain it if you like, Stacey.
So a measure gallery, everybody, is what we do when we're at a stage where we think we know what our new measures are going to be, but what we want to do is get wider input and buy-in, people that haven't necessarily actively participated in the creation of the new measures or the definition of them. We usually hire a room or use one of our conference rooms and put up all of the results maps, the strategy documentation, the new measure designs, all that sort of stuff on the walls, and just invite people to come in and walk around at any time they want to, stay for as little as long or as long as they want to, and use post-it notes basically to stick up ideas about how a measure could be improved, or did you consider this, or I like that measure, or I don't like that one. So they're really having input and giving some critical feedback to the team that develops measures, but also it's an opportunity for those people who come to the gallery to see and understand what that measurement process is. So it's quite a two-way kind of process. That storyboard is just this mini version of a measure gallery roadshow.
Essentially. So, and I suppose walking people through the process as well, like you said, so as a educational tool.
Yeah, it's great. So we were talking about successes, Bonnie. Do you want to? Are there any others you want to add to your list?
I suppose the final product, which is the new set of measures that we've got on our scorecard. I believe they'll give us, a real better understanding of what's happening and much better feedback, so to be able to make decisions on if we need to improve operations or whatever it may be, we need an improvement project here, or look how well we're going here, and linking that to recognition as well. So I suppose that's a really good outcome. And the feedback that I've got so far is people are very happy with these measures. They're kind of excited to see how they're going to look in real life. The conversations about what our outcomes really mean, I thought that was a major success in some areas where they never had had those conversations before, even though you thought they might have, but they obviously that they hadn't. So, and I suppose that then gave even more support to this particular process, Stacey. So to me, that was a really good outcome.
Tell me more about those conversations. Why do you think people haven't ever had those conversations before? What's different about the conversations that you helped them have?
I think being able to give them the power to rewrite the intended outcome if they could. And say, oh, okay, if I wanted to rewrite it, I would make it say this. I put some little rules around that as well. I kind of said, well, no weasel words. It's got to be kind of outcome-based, not activity-based or process-based, that kind of thing. And I think that then gave them, more ownership around actually achieving the outcome. And then from there, I think they just were more interested in it. So I suppose it just sparked more conversations around, well, what do we do to achieve that? What are the key items that we do to make sure that happens? So the projects one, they were talking about, okay, we've always looked at, percentage of variance from our budget kind of thing.
Yeah.
But as a result of those kind of conversations, now they've established some measures around the project scoping, because they realise that if we don't get this right first, then the project's going to fall over and ultimately we won't, meet our budget kind of thing. So they put some interesting measures around that, actually. One was around about how many times the project would be sent up for approval. Whether it got knocked back three or four times, that was an indication of the quality of the project brief or the project plan. Working on improving that project scoping phase is what they're going to do for the next kind of 12 months. And once they feel that, they've got a better control over that, then they'll, move on to the project's kind of delivery phase. So it was that real common ground of, this is an area we need to improve and need to get feedback on. So, and I don't know why they hadn't had that conversation before. Maybe it's because it was always assumed and never really spoken about, I'm not sure. I work with a bunch of engineers, so it's, sometimes that, touchy-feely stuff is never encouraged.
I don't know if it's just engineers. I keep coming across it all the time, is the people saying that same thing. Wow, this is a conversation we've never had before. It happened just over a week ago in that workshop I ran. Wow, we've never had this conversation before. It blows me away. I think maybe we do make the assumption that people have already thought through clearly what results matter and what they're really there to try and achieve together. Not a safe assumption to make, it would appear. Cool. So let's, just before we, I would like to talk to you about, you know, what's going to happen next for you guys, like where you're headed now. But before we do that, I'd really like to, maybe we could just do a quick summary, because you mentioned you started out that you were reviewing 35 measures for the scorecard.
Yeah, we had 25 for the scorecard and 10 for our team. So,
right.
Yeah, 35 in total, yeah.
Right. So let's, can we talk just about the 25 in the scorecard then?
Yep.
And just get a sense of, you know, of those 25, how many of them did you keep? How many of them did you replace?
Yep.
Those sorts of...
Yeah, sure. We had, from that 25, 10 were mandatory. And so within that, we kind of went to that process owner and said, why is it mandatory? Where is it mandatory? Can you show me? And did a check on those. But even for those mandatory ones, we went through and did the measure design and definition. So we had a full complete set of information on how this measure would look and how it would be, you know, brought to life. Because even though some of them were mandatory, they were only reported on an annual basis. And it was just done ad hoc. So now we've got that kind of embedded a bit better. So that was 10 of the 25. Then the remaining ones, they're the ones I had the workshops for, the 1 to 2 hour workshops for. So some of them one we got rid of completely, and we redesigned 14 of them. So and some of them actually remain the same, but we... I suppose had those important conversations about why do we need this measure, what are we trying to achieve, what will that tell us, what would our responses be to it, what has our responses been to it in the past, that kind of thing. So again, we used the measure design and definition kind of templates and went through that whole kind of process. I'd probably, off the top of my head, I'll probably say we've got about 5 completely new ones that if we have to establish from the ground up. Some of them we kind of just tweaked a bit improved the way that they were going to be reported or changed the calculation because they didn't encompass, the right criteria kind of thing. We're only looking at a certain section of the data, not the whole lot. And 5 complete new ones, which is a massive task to try and get them activated. So,
well, that's that really is a good review then. I mean, you touched every measure that was in the original scorecard in some way, either improved it or replaced it with something better.
Yes, and then from there we put a new report template together as well, so that all the data is automatically downloaded as well into that new reporting kind of format, and have set up, in the process at the moment of setting up the new quarterly meetings and that particular meeting structure where, you know, I mentioned before, we're kind of geographically challenged. Every quarter we'll meet in one of the office locations, and we have at least one person from each of the sections or groups attend, and they present on behalf of their team. So, and they'll take that turnabout. So they'll have a representative there, and that's our GM will manage those meetings as well. So it gives him that face time as well with the staff too. So it's, once again, it's kind of expanded. The whole project's kind of expanded, as they tend to do. So, it's not just restricted to this, the measures on our scorecard. We're now, I suppose, into the behavioural kind of stuff, Stacey.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, it's not just seeing measurement as just, let's just come up with something to populate the scorecard with. It's more about how do we really embed it and bring it into the way we... talk about and manage the work that we do.
Correct, yep.
So you're really touching on now, Bonnie, where you're sort of taking things next. I mean, do you want to talk some more about that? Like what is going to happen in the coming months for bulk order?
Okay, well, we'll send up our balance scorecard for final approval with those measures on it. And we've already kind of had that circulated amongst our key stakeholders, and so I see that would not be too much a problem. And then we'll do get final sign-off on our reporting template and methodology and, activate that first report from December. And then we'll look at our business planning processes as well. In doing all of this, we've identified that there's a real downfall in not only the timing of our business planning meetings, but also the way they're conducted. In particular for the business improvement group, when we kind of ran our, first little 10 measures, what do we want to reconsider, what ones do we want to keep, that kind of thing. We actually did our group plan at the same time, not on purpose, it just kind of happened that way. That highlighted that our business planning processes before weren't as good as they could be. So that's an area that we're going to do. And providing the assistance to the other teams that we have as well. We have four groups within the division and a few sections so that we can, provide them with advice, even if they just need, someone to facilitate their developing their team plans or group plans.
That's excellent. So that's like the cascading part of it.
Yeah.
What you did with your own team as sort of like the pilot, that's it's sort of more replicating that throughout the different parts of Bulk Water.
Yes. Yep. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Just coming back to what you'd said about the business planning process, Bonnie. You found that you were sort of revisiting your business planning to some extent while you were at the same time as you were doing the measures. Tell me more about that.
Yep.
Was that deliberate, or how's that going to impact how business planning for you guys looks like in the future with regard to when you develop your measures, I guess?
It wasn't deliberate at all. I suppose we, in having those conversations around what's our intended outcome, what does that really mean, what do we do, it highlighted to us, we should also be doing this, this and this, but we haven't done that to date. So, all right, we've got to schedule that in somewhere, so let's stick it on our team plan for next year. So that's kind of really how it came about. So, and then we started thinking, well, how come we didn't think of this before? Was this a gap last year when we were establishing our group plan? So, and then we started looking at all the timing of it. We do have a proper business planning process in place, and we do have an annual calendar of all the activities and meetings and so forth that we do throughout the year. But we identified that they're probably not aligned as well as they should be. And some of them, the key meetings weren't happening, especially like the leadership kind of November meetings where each year people bring in the projects that they want to do. And that's the first kind of kickoff and where we say, what are we going to achieve for the next financial year? What are the key projects that the managers have got going? And what do the other divisions have going? Kind of thing, is there any other overlap? So it's really improving those kind of communication processes as well.
It gives a different meaning to the idea of communicating and executing strategy.
It's not just something
that gets told to everybody. It has to be a process people get to participate in.
And it's ongoing as well. I think we had that mindset that, we've done that now, we're finished, rather than, it's continual kind of thing. So.
Absolutely, yes. Cool. Okay. So this is a fantastic story, Bonnie, of great things that you've achieved, some excellent tips for how you went about doing it, to get people engaged, to have them really decide how much time they were going to give to it, which ended up being more than you had planned for them to give to it. And you've
definitely
got a scorecard now that you're bringing to life that's got 25 measures in it that people believe in.
Yeah, that's, the one of the real success kind of factors. One thing I have forgotten, Stacey, is that even though we have about 25 on our new scorecard, the scorecard report probably has 50 in it, where the team measures get reported into that as well. So that's what we're probably doing next week, is going out to the teams and saying, okay, even though you don't have anything on the scorecard as such, because that's, you know, kind of more high level, what are some local level indicators that you guys have been looking at, and let's feed that into the scorecard report. So I suppose that's that buy-in to the them coming and to the scorecard meeting, so that they have a bit of a brag card as well. So we're not just reporting by exception, we're also looking at, well, these guys have done a really good job, this is what they've achieved kind of thing. So it might sound like we're measuring things to death, but that's something that we've always done. I suppose we've always got lots and lots of measures and reporting left, right and centre, so we're trying to really rationalise those down as well. So even though that sounds like a huge amount, it's a lot less than what we originally had.
Well, it's kind of shared across a group of people too. It's not like just a few people own all those 50 measures.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good, and it's so much, it's like this concept of chunking. If you've just got this massive volume of whatever it is, it might be performance measures, it might be ideas, it might be tasks that need to get done. When you chunk things into logical groups, it makes the numbers so much more manageable. So
those
50 measures, it's not just a basket of measures, is it? They're organised.
No.
Organised by probably the perspectives in your scorecard, and organised by level as well. You know, some of them are strategic, some are probably operational.
Yeah, we organise them by, we have four goals, so we've organised them underneath those four goals. So we haven't done them by teams as such. So we say, what are all the measures to achieve these kind of four goals, and these are our intended outcomes kind of thing.
Yeah, gets over that silo concept. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Bonnie, we're probably just about ready to see if we've got some questions from any of our listeners. Is there anything else that you want to add or share about this whole experience for you that you think people might get some extra tips or value from?
I think we've covered a fair bit, but I suppose not underestimating the online resources that you offer as well, Stacey. You know, so many times I've been sitting there thinking, oh, what am I going to do here? And whether it was someone that I had met from the, you know, workshop, or, you know, any of your articles kind of thing, that, you know, really kind of doing that research as well, I underestimated the amount of personal growth that I would get from that. So that's been a real success too.
Wow, thanks. And just for everybody who's listening, a lot of the resources that Bonnie's talking about are free, and you find them on the website. So most of you who are listening are probably people like Bonnie who facilitate or lead performance measurement in your organisation, and you therefore, when you go to my website, you just click the Measure Facilitators button. That's the orange one, and that will take you through to a place where you can pick one of the menus along the top that I think says free stuff or free resources, and you can find a lot of the articles, for example, that Bonnie's been talking about that she shared with her teams as pre-reading to warm them up. You can find those on that site and download them. But if you're looking for anything, go to the site and see what you can dig up. If you can't find what you're looking for, just send me and my team an email, and we'll help you out. The idea is that website helps you without you having to make any huge commitments or investments to just get at least started with better performance measures. Thanks, Bonnie, for that feedback. That was very kind of you.
That's okay.
Well, we are going to take some questions from listeners, and if you're out there and you've got a question, now is the time for you to type it into the form on the webinar page, or get yourself ready if you have managed to join us by phone. While you're doing that, I want to remind you that as members of This Measures and More Mastermind, you've got access to our online discussion forum, which is another really valuable thing to do. When you log in to that forum, you can contribute to discussions, you can ask questions related to a whole range of measurement topics. Some of the topics that we've got in there is, you know, how do you get started measuring performance, how do you get more buy-in, how do you build a performance culture, how do you align measures to strategy, and there's loads more. On that online forum is also where you're going to be directed to download recordings and transcripts of these monthly case study calls as well. Now, the primary reason that I set this forum up was to help you connect with each other. Bonnie mentioned that she had connected with a few people from the workshop that she went to. It's so important to know that you're not alone in what you're doing with performance measurement in your organisation, that you don't feel isolated. So use that forum to meet other people and to connect and to share ideas. It's just amazing the power that you get when a group of minds come together to share ideas and explore questions than if you try to nut it out yourself or just through reading. Connecting with people is just so important. So make sure you do get online to the forum. Give it a try, play around, connect yourself with some others who feel the same as you are, who are going through what you're going through. And incidentally, that's what a mastermind is. It's that that extra mind that gets created as the synergy of all the other minds that are a part of it. If you want to get online, you're not quite sure how to, in our weekly updates, there's always a link in there to flick you through to the online forum login page, or you can visit a page on my site, which is www.stacybarr.com/measuresandmorefaq.html. That's FAQ as in frequently asked questions, and there's some tips there for how to do that. Okay, so by now we should have at least somebody who's got a question or a comment, so I'll go see what's there. Firstly, I'll just check online. Has anyone joined us by phone and has a question? Just unmute yourself by pressing *6 or *7 is what you'll do to unmute yourself, and go ahead and ask a question. Okay, so we probably don't have anyone joining us online. I'll see if any questions have come through from the webcast. A few comments from Jen. Hi. I hope your technical difficulties solved. Looks like you were trying to listen online but had a few glitches. Moira, hi. Hi, back at you. Hi, Sharon. And Dina, you're there too. G'day. So nobody seems to have a question for us, Bonnie.
That's all right. You've obviously covered everything.
Oh, you obviously covered everything. The thing that you did was you actually gave us some examples and shared some of the practical tips that you've been using along the way. And it's so wonderful. I love hearing what other people are doing. There's no shortage of ideas for how you can make performance measurement a little bit easier, more fun, more engaging, and more valuable for people. I think I heard you say at one point today, Bonnie, that people are actually feeling excited about what they were coming up with, and you don't usually hear the word excited and performance measured in the same sentence.
No, I suppose that's kind of that whole last part where, I actually got up on the, whiteboard and drew some examples of what this would look like kind of thing. That's when they kind of really start to think, oh, okay, yeah, I want it to look like this. And I drew some more examples of saying, okay, if your results look like this or if they're really poor, really good, what would you do? And so that's where that excitement part came in. You could see that, the eyes light up and the attention really to say, well, we would do this, that would be fantastic, or okay, that would be a real problem, we'd have to notify so-and-so, or we would have to report that directly to, ex-manager or whatever. So that was that real, excitement part, I think.
Well, people care about what they do. They care about what they come to work to
do.
Even if they get more clarity about that and feel more motivation and more focus and they have more information to be able to decide what they can do about it. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, Bonnie, thank you so much for joining us today. It was just wonderful to be able to talk to you and to hear more about your story.
That's okay. My pleasure, Stacey.
And thanks, everybody, for joining in today too. The audio recording of this case study call and all of our monthly case study calls from here on in is going to be available, like I said, on the online forum, and it's generally within 24 hours. You should be able to download the MP3 file. You can listen to it on your computer, put it on your iPod, burn it to a CD, whatever you like. And then the written transcript, we're going to have these calls typed up as well so that you can either listen again and follow the notes as you go through with your highlighter pen, or just read it when you're on the bus or on the train or sitting at the soccer on Saturday morning waiting for little Johnny to finish his game, whatever, and go back over the information, highlight tips that you liked or ideas that you get. So those transcripts generally take about 5 days for us to get them online for you, but we will send reminders out to you for when the recording is ready and when the transcript's ready. Now, next month's Measures and More Mastermind case study call is going to be with Vanessa Taylor, and she works in Queensland Transport's Passenger Transport Division and has been leading a team of people who are facilitating measurements throughout their entire division simultaneously. So kind of like what Bonnie's been doing, Vanessa's got a team of how many are there? I think about 14 or 15 people in her team that are working all the way through the division to get all of the strategic and operational measures designed. She has learned a ton about getting buy-in to measurement, especially from areas that have been quite cynical about performance measurement. We know how important and challenging it can be to get the cynical people to understand the value of measurement. You probably didn't have that to such an extent, Bonnie, or did you?
No, but that sounds amazing what she's done, so I'll be listening in for that one.
Cool. So everybody, make sure you join us on September 16, again 10 a.m. Brisbane time, and you'll meet Vanessa and pick up some practical insights and tips for engaging people in measurement. If you have any colleagues or friends that you think these case studies are going to help, make sure they visit stacybarr.com/measuresandmore.html and they can get all the detail there about how the program works and how they can join if they want to. So thanks again, everybody, for joining today, and have an awesome day. Bye.
Bye, Stacey.
See you, Bonnie.